And we're back in Psalm 90, praying amidst perishing. First of all, praising in verse 1 and 2, and now we're in the middle of perishing. It's the funeral memorial part of this psalm, but we're so thankful for the brutal honesty of the Bible. Unlike any other of the world religions, Christianity doesn't try and explain evil away. It looks sin and its consequences in the eye, and all of the pain and brokenness of this world. And now from verse 7, Moses really, like a wise biblical counselor, and like a loving parent and a faithful teacher, he gets beneath the cause. Yes, verses 1 to 6, God is eternal. We're not. He is forever. We are frail and perishing and dying, and we strut our stuff for a few moments on the stage, and then we're snuffed out like a candle. And he comes to the cause behind it all, the God-centeredness of this saint and this man and his song and his prayer. Verse 7, answering, why is life so brief? Why is death so hard? Is that just the way things are? And the answer from all of Scripture, like Moses here in Psalm 90, is no. There is a cause behind it all. There's a personal being, the infinite, personal, living, and true God of the Bible, behind and above and within this world, working out his perfect plan and answering life's deepest questions. Verse 7, for we have been consumed by your anger and by your wrath, he says to God, we have been dismayed. You, verse 8, have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. Moses speaks here in solidarity with all of humanity, representing the rest of us. Imagine how disturbing it was for Moses, watching 2 million people perish in the desert. I did the maths. That's an average of 50,000 people every year over 40 years. That's 136 funerals per day with burial, as they would have always done then. Behold the severity, the awful holiness of our God, brothers and sisters. Moses is saying here in verse 7, God's anger consumes us. The idea here is it finishes, it expends us, we waste away. His wrath terrifies us. As Scripture says in Hebrews 4:13, nothing can be hidden from his sight. Everything is laid bare before the eyes of the one with whom whom we must give an account. The grand finale of our miserable lives, Moses says, is a pitiful sigh or moan in verse 9. As the final effects of God's judgment upon a sin-cursed world. Yes, for the believer in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation, Romans 8. But Romans 5 and Romans 6 are still true. Through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sin, we sinned in Adam. So we face Adam's consequence. Romans 5:12, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Yes, hallelujah, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. But we appreciate the new life in Christ more against the backdrop of the death and the perishing of sin in a broken planet, in a cursed world. Whenever and however death comes, for whomever it comes, even to Christians, death is always a graphic display of how holy God is, how serious sin is, how dire the consequences of Adam's rebellion, how righteous and angry God is against sin. Not your personal sin as a believer, which was paid for on the cross by Christ and through his shed blood. It is finished, Jesus cried. But still, it does display for us graphically, death displays and confronts us with Adam's sin and mankind's sin and sin itself in the world. This is the way the world ends, said the poet, not with a bang, but a whimper. As my pastor once said to me, it's a bit like marriage. No one can fully prepare you for aging, as some of our beloved older folk at Antioch have said. It's not for sissies, is it? Verse 10, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. And yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it's gone and we fly away. At best, a mere 70, 80 years. But this span is only a few moments in God's sight, as we've seen in the previous verses. But so much of our life, let's admit, is spent laboring hard. Even in our free time, we tend to find something to worry about and work on a new crisis or more anxiety. We're all wearing down. We're all wearing out, returning to the dust, as he said at the beginning of this section in verse 3. Moses is not Shakespeare here in terms of ultimate despair. All of life is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. No, it's more like Ecclesiastes, as I've said. It's blatant honesty and facing the futility, the vanity of this life in the fear of God. And we praise the Lord that in Christ, our hope and our joy and our peace are not for this life only, but forevermore in the life to come, because Christ has conquered the grave, right? Remember what Spurgeon said to the dying saints, who said, I'm about to leave the land of the living. And Spurgeon said, no, this is the land of the dying. You're going into the land of the living. So, beloved, when tragedy strikes us on a global, macro, or at a very micro, personal level, or both, we must never forget God's perspective, that we are on a cursed planet. We don't deserve to live. Every day is a gift of his grace. And ultimately, the answer to Moses' question here in verse 11, who knows the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? Supremely, we now know this side of the cross, only Jesus can answer that question. On the cross, Christ faced the full fury of the wrath of God. Only in Christ is God safe and no longer dangerous. Hell is God without a mediator. Heaven is God with a mediator. He's a righteous and a consuming fire, but in Christ, he is safe, and we do not fear death. To live is Christ, to die is gain. See you tomorrow for the final section.